United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Coral Peach presiding. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning or good afternoon. This is Judge Peach, and I'm joined by Judge Greenberg and Judge Toth. We are convened today via teleconference to consider arguments in the matter of James R. Welcome versus the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, case number 18-4601. Will counsel, beginning with appellate counsel, please make your appearance for the record?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. My name is Jennifer Zajac, Associate General Counsel of Paralyzed Veterans of America, and on the phone call with me is Linda Blahut, Deputy General Counsel.
Do you wish to reserve any portion of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 12 minutes, please.
12 minutes. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Mark D. Gore for the Secretary, and with me today is Deputy Chief Counsel Edward Cassidy.
Thank you. If counsel are ready, we'll begin with appellate counsel. Ms. Zajac, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Jennifer Zajac, and I am here today on behalf of James R. Welcome, a U.S. Army veteran who is seeking his remaining 8 months and 9 days of his Veterans Retraining Assistance Program benefits, or VRAP, provided to him through the Vow to Hire Heroes Act of 2011. Mr. Welcome sees three main questions before the court today. One, whether the up to 12-month language found in Section 211B is tied to the length of the program that the veteran was pursuing. Two, whether the Vow to Hire Heroes Act allowed the secretary to accelerate payments or to provide a lump sum benefit. And three, whether the secretary's decision to only accelerate 2 months of Mr. Welcome's payments was arbitrary and capricious. Mr. Welcome believes the answer to all three of these questions is yes, and therefore asks the court to do the following. One, reverse the August 2nd, 2018 Board of Veterans Appeals decision denying Mr. Welcome VRAP benefits. Two, hold that the up to 12-month language is tied to the program that the veteran was pursuing, and therefore the secretary's actions were contrary to the statute and therefore arbitrary and capricious. And three, hold that the Vow to Hire Heroes Act allows for the secretary to accelerate payments and therefore remand for the secretary to carry out his statutorily required responsibilities. Section 211B states, except as provided by subsection K, which is the section that is the termination authority for payment, each veteran who participates in the program established under subsection A1 shall be entitled to up to 6 months of retraining assistance provided by the secretary. Based on the purpose of the statute, the placement in this particular subsection, the presumption against ineffectiveness, and the presumption to avoid absurd results, Mr. Welcome believes that the determination of how many months of benefits a veteran was entitled to is tied to the length of the program that was being pursued, and not when the veteran applied or some other determination made by the secretary.
Ms. Zajac, Judge Toth, so, I mean, how long was the program that he was a part of?
The program was a year-long program, Your Honor, and it looks like it might have taken him a little longer to finish the program, but it was supposed to be a year-long program.
Was it one program or sort of a sequence of or a series of programs?
It's one program that's divided into two sections.
I have some questions about sort of the mechanics of payments, and it all sort of ends up kind of focusing on the language of that subsection K. But I mean, can you give us kind of a rough overview of when the programs began and ended for which he sought sort of benefits?
His program began in February of 2014, and that was because that was when he could actually get into the program. It was a very popular program, And sure. So even though he applied for the program back in August, he wasn't able to start courses until February. And based on the information that was in the record, his summer courses started right after the May 30th deadline. I'm not really clear, Your Honor, which courses went with which part of the program as far as that it divided into two, but it essentially is a continuous program where you take one course for about 6 weeks and then the next course, and it all builds up to the certificate for him to be a motorboat maintenance person.
Okay. And so when VA would make payments, they would make the payments to the veteran who would then pay the institution, or would they pay them directly to the institution on behalf of the veteran?
Your Honor, the payments were made directly to the veteran. This was not supposed to be payments to the school where it was going towards the specific coursework or the tuition. This was just supposed to be payments to encourage the veteran to go back to get retraining so that he could get employment.
So, for instance, for the summer classes, I mean, he would presumably, was he registered for those as of February, or would he have to finish one sort of section and then register for the following one?
I don't believe he had to register when he was finished, Your Honor, because there is a notation that before he finished the summer courses that he informed the board that he had already registered for the fall courses. I believe that it is just a one long continuous program, and there it's not a semester system. It's just you continue to take the courses and it keeps going.
Would he have, and sorry, this is sort of the final one of my, this line of questioning, but would he have gotten a certificate of completion within that, you know, at the end of that 12 months? I mean, or would that have been like, would he have had to take additional courses in a second year to get that certificate?
No, Your Honor, at the end of the coursework, he would have received the certificate, and it should have taken him only 12 months. But even if it had taken longer, he only would have been entitled to the 12 months worth of benefits. Mr. Welcome isn't arguing, and I may be speaking a bit out of turn, but Mr. Welcome isn't arguing that he should have received the benefits for as many months as he took courses. He's arguing that the program was a 12-month program, and so he should have been receiving 12 months worth of benefits.
This is Judge Toth. Do you have any other questions?
Not right now. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to follow up then. This is Judge Peach. On the Mr. Welcome took a this program consists of several courses, I take it.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the first course he took seems like it was maybe 2 months or 3 months. After he completes that course, does he immediately go into the next course, or is there a break, or can he choose at any time to take up the second course?
My understanding, Your Honor, is that there may be a day or two break in between based on the information that Mr. Welcome had provided, but it's somewhat continuous. You go from one course, it's almost sequential in the information. You go from one course to the next, to the next, to the next. I believe that the first one was actually only about 6 weeks. I don't know that actually that information was ever provided to the board as far as how long that initial course was that he was taking. The school provided the information that he was registered through May 30th when they were looking to certify that information for the secretary to create the lump sum payment that he was going to be providing to the veteran.
At the end of the course, the first course, is there some sort of completion certificate that he finished the first course and he's now eligible to continue with the second course?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think it's all just one continuous situation.
No further questions for me. Judge Greenberg, did you have any questions based on our questions?
Not right now.
Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. So if we look at the purpose of the statute and its placement in this particular subsection, those items kind of go together. The purpose of the statute was to help veterans that were aged 35 to 60 and that were unemployed to return to the workforce. To be clear, this isn't an education benefit, and that was made clear by its placement in the overall statutory scheme. And if you're looking at how you're going to get veterans to go back to school to take courses, the ideal would be to give them the most opportunities to take the program that they want to be taking. And so if you're looking at a way to narrow that, which would then narrow the purpose of the statute, that's what the secretary is looking to do here. But if you're looking at a way to kind of fulfill the goal of the statute, to have the most opportunities and give the veteran the power to choose their program and know how many options are out there and to provide them with the most options as possible so that they know no matter when they applied for the VRAP, that they will have the possibility of looking at any program that they want to within the confines of the statute itself. Then we look closer at the placement of this within this particular subsection, and that's that all of it is talking about the program that the veteran is pursuing, all of the qualifications for the program that the veteran was pursuing. Nowhere in there do you get the idea that the amount of benefits would be tied to something else. There's no legislative history on that idea. There's no discussion at any point. But what we can take from Congress then is that putting this particular language within the section that's talking about the program and the pursuing of the program, that it would fit nicely for the up to 12-month language to tie to that. And it also creates certainty for the veteran. They know that if they are applying for a three-month program, that that's the number of months that they're entitled to. If they're applying for a 12-month program, then that's the number of months that they're entitled to. If they're applying for a program that's longer, they know that they're maxed out, though, at getting to the 12 months because the language is up to 12 months. Then we also look at the...
Counsel, it's Judge Toth. So I have a question about, I mean, there was, VA seemed to publish some official, some bulletin where they suggested that the lump sum payment was sort of their official policy about how to deal with this March 31st deadline. I mean, were you aware of that?
I was aware that they had sent a letter to the schools. I was not aware of any sort of bulletin, and in the research that I've done, I did not come across something that I would say was a bulletin to that effect.
Okay. I mean, it's published, and so I, you know, whether it's something we could take judicial notice of or not, or whether it's something we should consider or not. But I mean, what I'm asking about is the subsection K. I mean, it can be read in multiple ways. I think what there's no dispute is that whatever authority VA had to make payments, it had to be, those payments had to be done by March 31st of that, you know, by that date in the statute, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And so, I mean, under your reading, it would be basically, you're saying that they would have had to sort of pay the veterans in full whatever benefits that they were deemed entitled to before that March 31st period.
Yes, Your Honor, that's the argument that we're making, that at the point in time that the veteran applies for the VRAP, he is sent a letter that says how many months worth of benefits he is entitled to. Mr. Welcome's letter said that he was entitled to 12 months worth of benefits. Therefore, he should have, before the termination authority to make the payment went away, he should have received the payment for the full amount that he was entitled to. Now, there's nothing to say that these needed to be monthly payments, and I think that is clear that the statute itself does not state that the secretary needs to make monthly payments, and so I think that there isn't any problem with that the secretary had the authority to make these lump sum payments. He just had to do so before March 31st.
And then, I mean, so in terms of my question earlier, I want to kind of circle back to that about whether the program of education would be, in a sense, the entire program or just the actual discrete program that the veteran happened to be taking at that particular time. Because, I mean, as I understand it, I mean, the next, he would be separately billed for the summer classes after, you know, he would have had to complete the one that he was in and then be separately billed for any subsequent class, but that would be after the March 31st deadline.
Yes, Your Honor, but the fact that the veteran was separately billed wouldn't have impacted whether the secretary could have made the payments to him because the secretary isn't making these payments to the schools. The secretary is making these payments to the veteran so that he can continue to pursue the program that he would like to in order to get him back to work.
And so that, if this had all taken place a year earlier, right, so he would never, say, have hit the deadline, the secretary would have basically issued a monthly payment or would have just basically given – how would the actual payment mechanism have worked?
From my understanding, Your Honor, and in the other cases that I've seen, he would have issued a monthly payment to Mr. Welcome for each month that he had certified. The issue here is that he hits up against this deadline and then the secretary decides to make the lump sum payments, which was on the surface favorable to Mr. Waltham in that the payments continued for the end of his semester, but it wasn't the end of his program. The program isn't the individual courses. And when the VA certifies that, when you're applying for the VRAP, you're not just applying for one course here, one course there. You're actually letting the VA know what the entire program is, and that's how you get to what the certification is, that you're going towards an end sort of degree or certificate that shows completion of the program. So based on these issues that were presented, Mr. Welcome believes that the court should reverse the Board of Veterans Appeals decision, hold that this up to 12-month language is tied to his program, and in his case, his program was a year-long program, and that's what was certified by the VA, and to hold that the secretary has the authority to make these payments, the lump sum payments, and should require the secretary to go back and do so for the remaining number of months that he has. If Your Honors have any additional questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. But it looks like my time is about up.
Thank you. Mr. Gore?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, and may it please the court. Mr. Welcome's request that the court reverse the board's August 2, 2018 decision ultimately is founded on two false premises here. First, appellant operates under the assumption that Congress intended that every VRAP participant would receive a full 12 months of benefits under the program. And secondly, to the extent that the secretary has already acted to accelerate or advance some of those VRAP payments for periods beyond March 31, 2014, that the secretary acted arbitrarily in doing so. First, Congress clearly did not intend that every VRAP participant would receive a full 12 months of benefits. And secondly, the secretary clearly did not act arbitrarily in limiting the amount or the scope of the advance payments in the way that he did. Looking first at Congress's intent under the VRAP with respect to the duration of benefits, Congress did specify that VRAP participants would receive up to 12 months of benefits. But of course, that language refers the explicit qualifier of up to 12 months. It's not a statutory minimum or a guarantee of 12 months, but rather it's a statutory maximum indicating that the most.
Nobody questions that up to 12 months can mean less. I think the question is whether it's purely discretionary on the part of the secretary or whether there's some logic to what would, you know, why would somebody get 4 months versus 8 months? It can't be just because the secretary, you know, thinks one's smarter than the other, right? I mean, there has to be some consistent reason for the time.
Certainly, Your Honor. And the statute does specifically contemplate multiple situations that could lead to the application of that up to language or result in someone receiving fewer than 12 months. And as Mr. Walton points out, one of those could be that someone is participating in a program of study that's simply shorter than 12 months. Or someone could, during the course of the benefit period, drop below full-time status, which would also take that person out of qualification for the benefit. But although those are present on the statute, we also have the additional circumstance that timing is, of course, key here. Congress specified some critical dates in this statute, one of which is the Section 211, paragraph K specification that the authority to make payments under VRAP ends on March 31st, 2014. And of course, Congress also allowed people to continue to apply for VRAP up through October 1, 2013, which is within 12 months of the end of the program. So certainly one of the ways that someone could end up with fewer than 12 months is simply by virtue of when they entered the program. Of course, if someone enters the program at a time when fewer than 12 months remain, it naturally follows that that person would be in a position to receive fewer than 12 months of benefits. And this is clear on the face of the statute, and the parties seem to actually not disagree on this point, in that Mr. Welcome in his briefing recognizes that the plain language of the statute leads to exactly this result.
Judge, so I mean, obviously, nobody disagrees that that's what the statute means. But obviously, the actions, giving away lump sum payments suggests that, like, you know, VA was not reading the statute that way. Ultimately, when it came down to that deadline,
I mean, well, speaking,
VA could have taken a position and said, you know, March 31st, we can't pay benefits. Nobody can receive benefits. That's sort of the end of it right there, and that would have been the statute. That would have been the interpretation of that language right there.
Right, and the paragraph K language is very brief. It's very specific. It says the authority to make payments under the statute shall terminate on March 31, 2014. And the secretary simply read that very narrowly to indicate essentially that where he's making a VRAP payment, he simply has to sign the check by that date. And he opted to not import, kind of a usage component to that language to indicate that in addition to the payment having to be made by March 31, 2014, the payment must also pertain to periods that occur prior to March 31, 2014. So the secretary opted to take what ultimately is the more veteran-friendly interpretation of that, to simply limit when the money had to be conveyed. And sure. As appellate go ahead, Your Honor.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm following exactly what you're saying. But so where did the June 30th come from?
Yeah, certainly, Your Honor. That's on the face of the statute again. And we can look at paragraph I. The VRAP statute specifies that not later than July 2014, the Secretaries of Labor and Veterans Affairs had to provide a report to the Congress, basically summing up the program, informing Congress how many people participated, how many degrees were conveyed with VRAP assistance. Basically, Congress wanted to know how well they did. And, of course, we can't have a retrospective report talking about the results of this program while the program is ongoing. So that the June 30th, 2014 date is informed by that July 1, 2014 as just ensuring that by the end of June 2014, the program was fully wrapped up so as to facilitate this mandatory report that had to be given to Congress. Does that answer your question, Your Honor?
It does. It does. Now, I'm going to double back on a question I asked Ms. Sajak about. You know, so we found some public bulletins of VA put out, and it suggested that at least initially VA and Congress both viewed the March 31st deadline as pretty much a kind of drop-dead date for the program itself and all benefits. And it looks like the lump sum payment was sort of a workaround, you know, as you said, a more veteran-friendly reading of the statute that just basically all the payments had to be locked in by March 31st. Are you aware of this public document?
The bulletin that you're referring to, I don't believe I am familiar with that, Your Honor. I've not seen a bulletin. I certainly am aware
of. I don't mean to kind of do the gotcha thing, so I'm not, I don't want to, but just more of, were you aware that of this as a policy fix to the kind of statutory question?
Well, I guess I wasn't aware of it as using the language of or the verbiage of a fix so much as I was aware of this policy as an attempt by the secretary to maximize the amount of benefits that could be paid under the VRAP. And ultimately, where the secretary kind of lands on this in this effort to maximize the benefits is, as appellate notes, there is authority in an analogous context under Chapter 30 in Chapter 34, excuse me, Section 3014, Cap A, paragraph C2, where Congress has given the secretary the authority to make advance payments, just like what was done here with the VRAP. And where Congress did that, Congress clearly placed limits on the secretary's ability to do that. Where we have programs that are offered on term basis, whether they're defined as quarterly or more commonly semesters, then those quarters and semesters and the current enrollment for those quarters and semesters serve as the measure of how much these payments can be accelerated or advanced. And that's just what the secretary did here. If we look at the notice letters that were sent to Mr. Welcome here, particularly the March 2014 notice letter, it specifically indicates that the secretary was providing the lump sum to allow Mr. Welcome to finish his current period of enrollment. And that's really where this May 30, 2014 cutoff comes from. And that's exactly consistent with the enrollment certification that Mr. Welcome provided, which indicates that his enrollment, his current enrollment, which began on February 10th, 2014, ended on May 30th, 2014, which exactly matches the date that the secretary ended his lump sum. So it's clearly not an arbitrary decision that the secretary made to establish this endpoint, in that it's exactly consistent with the specific kind of action that Congress allowed the secretary to make in an analogous context. Of course, Section 3014A is an education benefit, and Congress allowed the secretary to make advance payments in an education context. The VRAP is also an education benefit that indeed refers to Chapter 30 for the calculation of the benefit. And so it makes perfect sense for the secretary to structure his payment acceleration or payment advancement in the same way that a Chapter 30 advancement would be structured. So ultimately, it's clearly not an arbitrary action in that it was informed by relevant statutory authority.
This is Judge Tovar. Do you have any other questions?
Not right now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I have a couple of a question or two. Practically speaking, generally, does the VA make these payments to the veteran, and is it done on a monthly basis?
And that is my understanding, Your Honor. I don't have specific information in front of me concerning the precise mechanics of the payment, but my understanding is that the payments are made on a monthly basis to the veteran based on what the statute requires, the monthly certification of ongoing entitlement.
And I think I may have misunderstood you, but did you say that there were times when the VA did make accelerated payments?
Well, as in this case, Your Honor, yes. In advance of the March 31, 2014 expiration of the VRAP program, we made these lump sum payments to allow the VRAP participants to finish their current terms of enrollment.
But like in this case, Mr. Welcome was given 3 months of monthly payments, and it was based on the fact that I think, or was it, that his course, this first course, ended after, it was a three-month course, but that the program consisted of many courses. So when you make an accelerated payment, is it based on the end date of the program, if it's less than 12 months, or on these particularized units that they take?
Well, if looking at Section 3014 Cap A, which as I mentioned, provides the relevant statutory structure for this, it's based on the current term of enrollment, whether it's quarters, semesters, however it's defined. And so here, what we're looking at is the current term of enrollment, which here ran from February 10, 2014 to May 30, 2014. and which Mr. Welkin himself in his July 2014 entity referred, he referred to these terms as semesters. So, and so that's what we're looking at here, and that's what the statute directs. The 3014 Cap A does allow for situations where an advancement can be with reference to an entire program of study, but that's only where the program isn't offered on a term basis, where the program is simply one all-encompassing term. And the record here just does not indicate that we have such a situation here. While his enrollment certainly could have been continuous in that, you know, you finish one term and you just naturally begin the next, there's no indication here that they are anything other than discrete enrollment terms. Again, Mr. Welkin's own language refers to these as semesters, and the enrollment certification itself, too, also provides a specific end date for Mr. Welkin's term of enrollment. So that clearly, even looking beyond just the legal structure here, on the facts here also, the Secretary's action is clearly in line with the type of course that Mr. Welkin was pursuing.
Thank you. You may continue.
Okay, and if I could circle back to one point that that Ms. Zajac made in her presentation, referring to the notion that the up to language where Congress qualified the 12 month of entitlement as referring only to the period of, or excuse me, the duration of a program of study, I see no support in the statute for that proposition. Ultimately, the suggestion is that the up to 12 months language has no relation to any temporal requirements in the statute, and that under the plain language of the statute, that is clearly incorrect. In the very sentence where Congress provides the up to qualifier in the 12 months, it specifically tempers that 12 months with reference to subsection K, which of course is the stop date for VRAP. Congress explicitly refers to the date that the payment authority ends as a specific statutory exception to the 12 months. So the only reading of that is that bumping into the March 31, 2014 end date would be one of the situations that would result in someone receiving fewer than 12 months of benefits. And this is not in any way an absurd result. It's clearly consistent with the statutory purpose that we see on the face of the VRAP statute here. There's more than one thing going on in this statute. One of the obvious purposes that Congress was moving towards with this was obviously to provide substantive benefit. But as I mentioned earlier, one of the other goals that Congress had here was they wanted this program to wrap up and be definitively finished so that they could get a report by July 1, 2014, so they could assess how well the program did. This clearly is a niche and narrowly defined program in that it only lasted for 21 months and affected was available only to a narrow subset of veterans. Congress clearly was attempting to address a program incrementally, and they simply wanted to know how well their program did soon after it stopped. And so they provided an additional provision to definitively end the program. And we see that in subsection K. And Congress did not need to do that. There are already two other provisions in the VRAP statute that provide for a natural winding down of the program. Congress, they provided an application deadline, which obviously would stop people from entering the program. And once people stop entering the program, those people who are already in the program will naturally exhaust their benefits and the program will simply wind down on its own momentum. And similarly, Congress also provided for a maximum number of participants in the program, which would have the same effect. But of course, those are kind of slow burns, so to speak, which will allow the program to slowly wind down once people eventually exhaust their benefits. And Congress clearly wanted this program to end definitively so they could get a report of the results. And to do that, they went with subsection K to definitively end the program by taking away the funding for the program. And that served the clear statutory goal of being able to assess this pilot program and how well it did in addressing the problem that Congress had identified. So there's nothing on the face of the statute or even in an evaluation of Congress's purposes in enacting the statute to suggest that the mere fact that someone would receive fewer than the 12 months is an absurd result. It's exactly consistent with the plain language of the statute, and it speaks specifically to one of the statutory goals of the statute. So ultimately, as I stated at the outset, there's no support here for the notion that Congress intended for everyone to receive 12 months of benefits. It's quite clear that Congress contemplated that some people would indeed receive fewer than 12 months of benefits, and that's borne out by the simple, clear, and unambiguous statutory language. And secondly, the Secretary's action in limiting the advance payment in the way that he did is clearly not arbitrary, in that it is clearly in line with the limitations on advancement authority seen in Section 3014 Cap A. All that aside, as the Secretary briefed here, there is a possibility that there could be additional benefits flowing to Mr. Welcome, in that we see on the statute and in the notice letter provided to him that the advancement period ends June 30, 2014, which is 1 month beyond where his current enrollment took him and where the advancement ended. And he did indicate to the board in his NOD that he was enrolled in an additional period there. So, and the board simply did not address the argument that he could be entitled to a bigger lump sum based on his additional enrollment. And insofar as the board failed to address that evidence or that argument, as the Secretary briefed, a remand for additional factual findings would be appropriate here. But the Secretary does recognize that the court has a statutory obligation to consider whether the board's error here is harmless. And there certainly are facts here to support a finding that the board's error was harmless if the court is inclined to move in that direction, in that the only evidence we have of any additional enrollment is evidence that came in well after the VRAP program ended. And that was, that would augur in favor of a harmless error finding, in that that was not evidence that was before VA when the program ended and on which it could have based an expanded lump sum payment. So, again, as briefed, it would be the Secretary's position here that remand for additional fact-finding is appropriate. However, absent that, if the court is inclined to look to whether harmless error is present here, then it would be the Secretary's position that there is support for that. So that fairly sums up the Secretary's position here. If there are no additional questions from the court, that would be my conclusion.
Mr. Gore, this is Judge Peach. Can you tell me again what your authority was to make a lump sum payment to the veteran that went beyond the date that beyond subsection K?
Well, the authority, as the appellant notes, is not specified in the notice letter that was provided to him. That's really the only record we have in the record here speaking to that lump sum. But it's fairly apparent that the Secretary has the authority to do that under 38 U.S. Code, Section 3014, Cap A, Paragraph C2. And that coupled with the narrow and more veteran-friendly reading of subsection K of the VRAP statute, which only speaks to the date of a payment and doesn't include, a usage component that would limit the ability to use payments for periods after March 2014, but rather only limits the date as of which the payment has to be made.
And I noticed that the statute has a requirement that the veteran who is participating in the program has to, shall certify to the secretary the enrollment in a program for each month in which the veteran participates in the program. What is the purpose of that if you're going to give a lump sum payment?
Are you referring to what is the purpose of the monthly certification, Your Honor?
Yes. What is it? Well, let's put it that way. What's the purpose of the monthly certification?
Well, Congress's purpose in providing the monthly certification would be just to ensure that we still have ongoing compliance with the statutory requirements. But if, to the extent, are you asking about, I guess, an apparent tension between that certification and just the mere fact that a payment was made in advance?
Yes. I mean, I would have, I'm thinking that maybe part of the monthly requirement, reporting requirement on behalf of the veteran is to assure the VA that this person is still enrolled in the program and therefore eligible for the payment. But if you pay in a lump sum, then what would give the veteran the incentive to file a monthly report that he's still in, he or she's still in school?
Well, the incentive would be on the face of the statute in that it's required of every participant. Congress there is establishing an obligation on the part of the benefit recipient to provide a monthly certification. Absent that certification, then the natural conclusion would be that that money that had been received was wrongfully received, and we could end up in a an overpayment type situation. But I guess it seems like kind of where you're going is whether the secretary's lump sum payment would kind of undermine the notion of a monthly certification. And I don't think it really does here, in that we still have the monthly certification requirement that's in place. And Congress clearly wants to avoid the harsh circumstance of people running out of their education benefits midterm. As the Federal Circuit recently discussed in Carr versus Wilkie, this has been a concern that Congress has sought to address with statutory provisions speaking to extensions and advancements through the end of term. And that's been present on the face of education benefit statute since 1966. Congress has always allowed for the Secretary to act to extend benefits to allow people to finish terms. They've always wanted to avoid the circumstance of someone's benefits running out midterm. And so the Secretary erred on that side of things here, simply not wanting a veteran to run out of his or her benefits midterm. That's why we have the lump sum here. And the monthly certification still serves an important role there to make sure that this money that's received is used in the way that it was meant to be used, which is for this particular type of education training. So I ultimately don't really see a tension between the two actions here of, on the one hand, the veteran being required to provide a monthly certification and the secretary's advancement.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
This is Judge Greenberg. Counsel, if the secretary had the authority to make an advance payment of a few months, why didn't he exercise the same authority to pay the full 12 months under the assumption that this particular program would take at least 12 months?
Well, a couple of reasons, Your Honor. First of all, as I mentioned, Congress clearly intended that all aspects of the VRAP program would be wrapped up and finalized by June 30th, 2014.
That's your argument, but what's the basis for that? Congress just asked for a report by a certain date.
Right, and that report speaks of data that Congress wants in the past tense, and that it wants to know the results of the program and from a retrospective stance.
One of the things that could have been in that report is we've made advance payments in the following amounts to the following people for the following programs, and we expect them to be honest about the being part of the program. And of course, you always have it at your disposal to seek repayment of the money. Suppose the veteran dies during the middle of the course or gets disabled and can't complete it for various reasons. The secretary has the discretion to seek the money returned, and maybe not, but that's left to another day. My simple question is, if you can pay in advance for a few months, why not pay in advance to a veteran like this one who is in a particular program and knows that up to 12 months is up to 12 months, but he's in the program?
Yes, Your Honor. And just speaking to your discussion about the nature of the report to be provided by Congress, if the secretary in the report indicated that we made advanced lump sums that we expect to be used in particular ways and we expect to have particular results vis-a-vis certain certifications or degrees, that's, of course, speculative data. That's not what Congress asked for. Congress asked for specific data as to the results of this program. And the value of this report here would necessarily be diminished if the program was still ongoing and we just simply reported on an expectation of how we think these monies would be used.
Sorry, I wasn't clear. The statement about we expect and anything like that was merely gratuitous and precatory. You don't have to put it in the report. It's a strictly objective report to Congress. Here's the amount of money we actually dispersed to the people. I mean, I have no idea what by the way, did the secretary make a report?
A report was made to Congress here.
The report arguing is so critical here. Did the secretary make that report to Congress in the summer of 2014?
My understanding is that report was made. I believe the Department of Labor was actually they were actually late in making their report.
Well, what does it say? Have you read it?
Respectfully, Your Honor, I don't see the relevance of that. What we're
talking
about.
Well, you've been arguing all afternoon about this big report signifies the congressional intent to end the program because of this report. So it seems to me you ought to know what's in the report and therefore help the court in determining what Congress intended. One way to look at this is Congress intended to encourage veterans to participate in programs and were willing to pay up to 12 months for the cost of those programs. This veteran was in a program that either may or may not have exceeded the 12 months, but everybody agrees all he was entitled to was 12 months. Secondly, the secretary paid something on to this veteran in advance. Why not pay the entire 12 months in advance is my question.
Yes, Your Honor, I understand your question. I'm trying to answer it. With respect to the report, I don't know what's in that report. I didn't review that report. What I know about the report is what Congress asked of the Secretaries of Labor and Veterans Affairs, and they wanted a report as to how well the program did, which necessarily is a retrospective analysis, which, of course, requires definitive data. And the more basic question that why didn't the secretary just advance the full 12 months again, that would bump up against the temporal requirement of paragraph I. And secondly, it requires the assumption that appellant invites the court to make before I continue, Your Honor, I see my time is up. I assume you would like me to continue with your question.
It's all right with me. It's up to the presiding judge.
Let's add five more minutes. Will that to answer the question from Judge Greenberg?
Certainly. Thank you, Your Honor. And again, to answer why didn't the secretary just go further and provide the full 12 months, that necessarily requires the assumption that appellant invites the court to make that Congress wanted everyone to receive the full 12 months. And certainly if Congress intended to guarantee that every VRAT participant would receive 12 months, they know how to say that. They didn't say that, though. They specifically referred to it as up to 12 months, and they provided clear and unambiguous language with temporal requirements that would result in someone receiving fewer than 12 months. They explicitly referred to the end of the program and the cessation of payment authority as one of the circumstances that would result.
All right, I understand you've repeated this several times. Let me ask you this. Is there only one report for this program that was submitted to Congress? And if so, is it a matter of public record? Or if we'd like to, certainly I would like to see what the report contained. If it's not a matter of public record, if it's all right with my colleagues, I would like to request that this record be supplemented with by you with a copy of this report. But is it a matter of public record that we could find on our own?
My understanding, Your Honor, with this is that this would be a matter of public record insofar as it was a report from the department to Congress. As I mentioned, there is I did find some discussion from the Office of Inspector General of the Department of Labor reviewing the Department of Labor's actions under the VRAP and the reports made to Congress. It would be my expectation this would be a publicly available document.
That's all I have, Judge Peach.
Thank you. Judge Toth, do you have any further questions?
I don't. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gore. Ms. Zajac? Hello? Are we, Ms. Zajac?
I apologize, Your Honor. I forgot to unmute my phone.
Okay, thank you. If you need an extra 5 minutes, because the counsel for the veterans, the secretary, has been given 5 minutes, you also will be given 5 minutes.
Great. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, this is Judge Greenberg. Can you hear
me?
Yes,
Your Honor.
Yeah. Have you seen this report that counsel for the secretary has been referring to?
Your Honor, I have not seen any such report, and we actually asked our legislative staff if they could reach out to their contacts on the Hill to see if we could get a copy of this report, and they came up empty. It's their understanding that a report was not actually created, and that the only thing that we have are the numbers that were provided on the VRAP website, which said how many people had applied, how many people had actually enrolled, and how many veterans were paid the overall benefit.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
So to start off, we'd like to emphasize that Mr. Welkom is not arguing that every veteran that applied for VRAP benefits was entitled to 12 months. We are simply arguing that Mr. Welkom was, as the program that he was pursuing was a 12-month program. Second, to go to Judge Greenberg's point about why, if you're going, the secretary is going to accelerate the payments, why couldn't he just do so for the entire period? I think that's really the heart of the matter here. And it does tie to whether Mr. Welkom was entitled to the 12 months. But if we go from the perspective that what Mr. Welkom was looking to do, and we look at that, the secretary himself is saying that they're looking to maximize the benefit here, and that's why they were willing to accelerate the payments at all. For Mr. Welkom, maximizing his payments and his benefits would have been providing him the full amount of the payments that he was entitled to. As far as the secretary's contention that CAR provides any sort of authority here, I think that CAR is an opposite. CAR is talking about adding additional benefits. So the veteran was hitting his 36-month mark in the middle of the semester, and the secretary doesn't want him to have to stop his semester. Here, we're not looking at ending the semester. What the secretary really should be concerned with is ending the veteran's program. And that's where the statutory language says in several places that it's the program that the veteran is pursuing. It doesn't talk about in terms of semesters or terms or non-standard terms. It talks about the program. Judge Peach, you had asked what is the point of the monthly certificates and is doing the lump sum any sort of incentive? Why would they continue to provide this certification? And I think that the secretary hit the nail on the head with that the incentive is to not create an overpayment. And we know that the VA, from board decisions that have been published, are going after veterans who did not continue to do these monthly certifications and that they decided that they were no longer going to be taking courses on a full-time basis after they received lump sum payment. So the idea to continue to inform the secretary of the courses and that they're continuing to meet the requirements for the statute That's what the monthly certifications would have been for. And Mr. Welcome stated in several instances that he's more than happy to provide that continued information to the secretary. That was never anything. He in fact, thought that that would be appropriate to do so, that if the secretary was going to be giving him the full amount of money, that he should continue to tell the secretary that he has taken the courses that he is intending to take. As far as the secretary's argument, too, that the report is where that June 30th date came from, I just have a hard time with that argument, in that, as Judge Bringenberg was stating, it's just a report. It is supposed to provide Congress with the information. Nowhere does it state that this needs to be the end-all, be-all of all information, and there's nothing to say that as of those dates that they couldn't have accumulated the information and just provided it. If Congress wanted it to be tied to the end of the program and that this needed to be ended, it seems odd to me that they would have pushed that information off so many months, because that if it was only ever going to be that they could it all needed to end on March 31st, then it would seem to me that the information would have been quite accessible for the secretaries to provide to Congress at that time. As far as the only evidence of additional enrollment being after the period ended, Mr. Welcome provided that information because he was trying to continue to say, look, I was entitled to 12 months worth of benefits. And we go back to, this is what the secretary told him. This isn't something that he's making up or arguing after the fact that he should have been getting it because the program was for 12 months. This is the letters that the secretary sent out to Mr. Welcome. I think it's interesting, too, that the secretary now is saying that we don't really know how many months the veteran was supposed to be getting. But when you look at that last letter that was sent to Mr. Welcome, it talks about one of the possible ways that for calculating how many benefits the veteran, months of benefits that the veterans would be receiving in the lump sum payment was that they were, if they had exterminated the 12 months. And so it seems clear that the secretary did intend for veterans who were looking at a 12-month program or longer that they were entitled to the 12 months. And sorry, I lost my train of thought there, Your Honor. I think we need to go back to the purpose of the statute and what Congress was intending to do. We wanted veterans that were in that age group to get back to work. And in order to do so, they needed retraining. And the retraining is getting them into the courses. Having the veteran get money through the end of his semester or term doesn't help him obtain the promise of the program. And that is to get the certificate, to get the degree, whatever that is. Mr. Welcome here put out a lot of money under the idea that he was going to be receiving 12 months worth of benefits for him to pursue this full length program, not just for him to finish the semester. And if he just finishes the semester, not the program, he can't go and get the job that he's looking to get because he doesn't have the certificate that says he's qualified to do the maintenance on the boat. So based on these reasons, I think we can all agree that the board decision should be reversed. It sounds like the secretary agrees that that should be the case, too. And I think you need to find, or we're asking the court to find, that the up to 12 months language is tied to the program that the veteran is pursuing. And once we tie it to the program that the veteran is pursuing, and Mr. Welcome's program was a 12-month program, then he's entitled to the full amount of that. And the fact that the secretary can only make his payments through March 31st, 2014, doesn't stop him from making the lump sum payments, which he himself admits he has the authority to make. So as Judge Greenberg very artfully put, if you can make it the extra payments for 2 months, why not go the full amount? We think that that's exactly what should have happened here. If Your Honors have no additional questions, that would be the end of my presentation.
Yes, this is Judge Peach. Just one question. Are you kind of for offering that the Veterans Administration, that the Secretary should have or made in every case for every veteran who seeks and is eligible for these retirements that they get the 12-month lump sum payment right up front, up to 12 months up right up front? Or is there some kind of a line that you draw that after a certain date, because of the expiration of the authority, they would get the lump sum payment? So would the lump sum payment in your mind be always the standard?
No, Your Honor. I don't think that the lump sum payment would have always been the standard, but I don't think that there's anything in the statute that could have prohibited that. I guess the line to me would have been drawn for any veteran who applied after March 31st, 2013, who at that point wouldn't have been able to receive the month-by-month benefit and receive the full 12 months. So any veteran that applied after that point who was certified for a 12-month program could have received the lump sum payment then, once he establishes that he is taking the courses on a full-time basis.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Judge Toews, Judge Greenberg?
Nothing from me.
Nothing from me. Thanks to both counsel.
Thank you. Anything else, Ms. Sajak?
No, Your Honor. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay, this case is now submitted, and the court thanks the counsel for their appearance. The court is now in recess.